Founders scale faster on Deel. Set up payroll for any country in minutes, hire anyone, anywhere, get visas handled fast, and get back to building. Visit deel.com/day1. That's deel.com/day1.
Give us a sense of how many dollars pass through those hands up and down that chain in the course of a year in Australia.
$320 billion was the last kind of indexed and researched, that's what it showed. Commercial construction people are paid quite well, but then spend a lot of time doing tasks that don't quite require their brain and their energy. So if we can find ways to automate, you know, the low-hanging fruit of what they do, you get a lot of time back.
What makes you the guy to solve this? Were you that guy putting in the data again?
I was that guy. I've been that guy for over 12 years, both in Australia and the UK. We are now just hit the button and we're going live, so I've got the first.
All right, congratulations. I can't high five you, but I can elbow you.
Thanks.
Live market, first customers going live. Good morning and welcome to Pick My Brain, the special Melbourne Picks My Brain edition of Pick My Brain show. My name's Alan Jones and I used to be a startup founder too once, a very long time ago. But now I'm an angel investor and over the years I've picked up a bunch of experience and skills and connections. And every week I have several coffees with startup founders who pick my brain for advice. And this show is just meant to be a live version of that experience. So in each episode of Pick My Brain, I sit down with a founder and we talk about how their startup is going. We understand what their startup does. And we talk about some of the challenges and problems and opportunities before them and see if we can come up with some ideas that might help them. And perhaps some of those ideas might help you. Thanks very much to Cremorne Digital Hub for hosting us for this special series of Melbourne Picks My Brain. And this morning, I'm joined by Mitch. Mitch is the founder and CEO of claimsac.com.au. Mitch, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Freezing cold and rainy outside.
Yeah, not a pleasant day today.
So thank you for making the journey in. It can't have been easy.
No problem.
You're listening to a day1.fm show.
Tell us a little bit about what Claimstack does.
So Claimstack is made for the construction industry. We are dealing primarily with the commercial workflow, so where the dollars flows from project inception and tender right through to final account. Most programs seem to be singular. They kind of deal with one layer. We've got like client at the top, then we've got builder, then we've got subcontractors, they've got their own subcontractors and suppliers. The chain is, you know, infinite.
Right. And give us a sense of how many dollars pass through those hands up and down that chain in the course of a year in Australia.
$320 billion was the last kind of indexed and researched. That's what it showed. That was the construction industry for a year.
All right. Okay. And what sort of pain point are you solving for that industry? Is it waste? Is it inefficiency?
A lot of it's to do with inefficiency and the kind of opportunity cost of, you know, in commercial construction, people are paid quite well, but then spend a lot of time doing tasks that don't quite require their brain and their energy.
Tasks like?
A lot of it can be inputting data that already exists. So let's say like you get quotations from a supplier and then you're generating a purchase order.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time someone's sitting there copying that data. So part of my thesis was, you know, the opportunity cost of you doing A instead of B is quite high. So if we can find ways to automate, you know, the low-hanging fruit of what they do, you get a lot of time back.
Okay. What makes you the guy to solve this? Were you that guy putting in the data again?
I was that guy. I've been that guy for over 12 years, both in Australia and the UK.
And what sort of roles and what sort of companies?
Most recently was John Holland, so working as contract administrator. That was on a $250 million refurbishment and new build on a shopping centre. I've worked on what was Facebook's new headquarters in London, which was, yeah, circa £150 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was with Kier over there for, yeah, 3 years.
That'd be a pretty nice job.
Yeah, it had its challenges.
Zuckerberg, I imagine, has pretty fixed opinions about how he likes things done.
Luckily, we only had to do the shell and core, so we built...
You didn't have to do the survival bunker and the Hawaiian island.
No, there was none of that. We did have to do the services for the staff kitchen and things like that. But
Pretty interesting work. So who does ClaimStack sell to, like, other contract administrators like you, or is there a CFO, or who's the customer?
Really, we've got to sell into the people running the construction businesses. So main target is builders, but part of that is we're kind of company agnostic at the same time, where if you pay the same as a builder, you get the same tools, because everyone kind of has repeated problems down the whole chain. So a client may be dealing with a builder and they obviously have contract, they have variations and they have payments going between them and the builder.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have like consultants. They'll have the architect that they're managing directly. They might have a quantity surveyor. On projects I've worked, like what seems to be happening in the data center space is a lot of those companies do their own direct procurement of main parts of it. So think of like big bits of plant that they order all the time, like generators, uninterruptible power supplies. Mm-hmm. A lot of that they buy themselves, procure themselves, and then supply to builders.
All right. And is ClaimStack in market and live for customers, in development?
We are now. Just hit the button and we're going live. So I've got the first.
All right. Congratulations. I can't high five you, but I can elbow you.
Thanks.
Live in market. First customers going live.
Yep. That's fantastic. Basically been onboarding the first ones and going through that kind of journey and getting them up to speed, ready to roll.
And have you vibe coded the platform or do you have a team? Tell me about that.
No, I've been doing this individually. So I guess we started in the vibe coding world and then I got a lot of information from, you know, some great sources that kind of, and great people, they help point me in the right direction. So I started in kind of early doors when I had the idea. I was like, how do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
I dived in and started using a tool that was called Data Button at the time, which was a full kind of vibe coding platform.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in that for about a month and then I realized, I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Okay.
Realized its limitations very early. And then I moved into Cursor, started using that and learning more as I went.
Okay.
And then eventually threw that in the bin and went to VS Code using Claude Code.
So, right. Okay.
But spent a lot of time researching and learning you know, software architecture and the like.
Right. Many startup founders won't begin until they find a co-founder, or they won't start until the potential co-founder nudges them into giving this a crack. Why did you decide just to get started?
Well, I finished up my contract position with John Holland. I went on holiday. I had this idea for a long time. I bought a laptop when I went on my European holiday. I was like, you know, I'm just going to see what I can achieve just in a bit of downtime.
Right.
And that was kind of, you know, the origin story of it. And then when I got back, I was like.
So you didn't see much of Europe, but you saw.
It was more. So my partner's an artist. So my deal was while she was making art.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I would sit there and see what I could do with.
Yeah.
Some AI tools and all that.
You can't make art on a tour bus. You do have to stay in the one spot.
Exactly. So I was like, well, you know, we can both do our passions and it kind of worked very nicely.
Okay, cool.
I think her output was better than mine from the holiday, if I'm perfectly honest, though.
Right. Right. It's easy to be a solo artist. I mean, you know, being an artist professionally is not easy, but, you know, it's not usually a team sport, but startups are a team sport. Have there been times so far when you've thought, is it wish I had a co-founder or I wish I had a team?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously when you're doing it solo, every job relies on you. So you're both the accelerator and the handbrake at the same time. So, you know, and that challenge of splitting between headspace, you know, one day I'm in programming and the next I'm like talking to customers and doing on.
Founders scale faster on Deel. Set up payroll for any country in minutes, hire anyone anywhere, and get visas handled fast so you stay focused on scaling. Deel takes care of onboarding, HR, IT, EOR, benefits, and compliance so your team can grow without borders. It's why more than 40,000 fast-growing companies trust Deel to move fast. Visit deel.com/day1. That's deel.com/day1.
Onboarding, so it's like you got to change hats so many times. You're like, you know, I wish I had other people to bounce ideas off, but I'm in a very fortunate position where I have friends that have basically started software as a service in the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of, you know, used them to bounce ideas off and get some valuable feedback to help me kind of keep evolving.
Great. If you don't mind me asking, as a artist and a self-taught first-time software engineer, you know, how are you paying the mortgage or the rent? Are you relying on savings? Are you hoping?
Well, my partner works full-time. The Okay. You know, her kind of side hustle is doing art. That's her passion, but yeah, she's got a day-to-day job, so she's footing the bill for a lot of stuff at the minute.
All right.
But I, luckily construction, I acquired a lot of possessions and I'm slowly selling those off to keep funding the dream.
Great. Do you find that sometimes there's subtle or sometimes like clear tensions in the relationship that are caused by, you know, one of you pursuing a loss-making vision for the future?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. You obviously get, you know, the reality of day-to-day life and expenses can bite. But before I started it, I kind of spoke to her, got her buy-in, and we kind of agreed what the future looked like and set a timeline of what that looks like. Cool. And luckily, I've basically proven to myself and others that it's going to work. And I've now just closed to friends and family around. So we're
great.
Good to keep rolling.
That's really good. I think it's a really good discipline and healthy for a relationship to say, you know, I think, like, I've never done this before, but I think if I can get this much time to, you know, sort of startup leave to go and pursue my startup, and these will be my milestones along that journey. And if I can keep hitting these milestones, I have your permission to keep pursuing my startup journey, right? And then if it looks like I'm going to miss one of my milestones, then we both know that I should sit down and we should sit down and have a talk about, well, you know, I'm doing this for the first time and it might take a bit longer for the following reasons. You know, like, it's when we bury that, when we hide that, chuck it in the back of the wardrobe and the tensions build and build and build, that sometimes that can be really bad for a relationship for someone who's a startup founder.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, as they say, in the dark, the mushrooms grow. So light's a great disinfectant. You just got to have those honest conversations, and super blessed that she's so supportive of what I'm pursuing. And obviously it's for the both of us and our future. So, but yeah, no children, no mortgage. So if it wasn't now, it's kind of the ideal time to pursue it.
Yeah. That's true too. That's true too. So let's get back to go to market. So you're in market now, you're live, you're getting some customers on board the platform.
Yep.
What are you learning about what it takes to take a customer from, because I assume these are multi-seat licenses or pilots of some kind.
Yeah, so these first ones are pilots, so that's where we're at now.
Right.
You know, first contact through to getting them actually in there working now. You know, you don't know it until you do it, but it started as what I thought. Oh, I started targeting smaller companies because I'm like, you know, you can get in a room with the director, you can get answers quicker, but because of the level of stuff I'm kind of asking them to pull out of what they do, the sales cycle is obviously going to be longer. And to, you know, for them to get comfort that A, it can deliver what I say it's going to deliver, and B, they can rely on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I think there are industries and you know, kinds of company that are relatively easy to persuade to adopt new technology, and others that are a bit more resistant to it. You know, sometimes you find that, like, every business has a cycle speed, you know, or a clock speed, maybe, you know, like, where things are spinning, projects are running through. And the more numbers of steps in a project cycle and the rate at which you advance through those steps has a big effect, I think, on how an organization is likely to adopt
absolutely
a startup solution.
And that's why probably the biggest champion company right now is a small fit out company that's agile, because their projects only go 3-4 months. It is rapid. Their internal clock, as you say, is fast. So they want to move quickly and they want to.
Yep. And there are particular kinds of businesses where some people in the organization have been specifically trained to use one piece of software in a particular way, and they'll have memorized keyboard shortcuts and to make their job easier. It's still very manual work, and you're desperate to make it more efficient by putting in something that means you don't even have to remember any keyboard shortcuts.
Yes.
But they go, no, like, you know, I spent 5 years learning how to do this and I'm not going to change. You know, I'm in the last 10 years of my career and I'm not going to change. I'm just going to keep using this terrible Windows client server software from the 1980s until I retire. And you might have, like, somebody else in the organization who's, you know, officially the boss. Right. And can technically order people around, make them use whatever software you want, but actually you still got to get that person to do that data entry job or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they push back, it can put you in a very challenging position because you have no say, and you have a champion inside, but that champion thinks they run the company until they try and make people change how they do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, probably the biggest thing that I've found thus far is like I've started talking to the people that are going to be using it. I've come from their world. I've sat in their seat. I understand. Mm-hmm. I can talk to them and I can sympathize with the challenge of their job. And that breaks down barriers pretty quickly, I've found thus far.
Cool. Cool. That lived experience of the problem.
That's it. It's like, yeah. I'm not coming here guessing what you're dealing with. Like, yeah. I understand. And I think we've all been in organizations and seen enough terrible rollout of software to be scarred for a lifetime. So I get the...
All right. So your time doesn't scale beyond a certain number of hours in a day.
That's correct.
What's your plan for how to increase your rate of go-to-market by adding other people into the team to help you with that sales effort?
I mean, the first kind of plan, my first hire that I have planned is actually customer success and support. So I can offload that to someone. Obviously, that's not something I'm an expert in. Mm-hmm. I come from the field of using it. That doesn't mean I know the best ways to do that side of the business. And I think, I've got kind of a couple of people earmarked for that. So once I build it to the revenue to support that, I'll look to get them on board.
Are they people that come from the construction industry?
Yes.
Okay, so they'll have that same sort of lived experience, credibility that you've been able to
that's from. Kind of a key thing to me. Cool. And I think we're kind of at a nice point where there are people in construction potentially looking for a career change and other things. And it's not hard to convince some people from construction when they're used to working from 7 till 6 p.m. per day to come try something different.
Great. In their off hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about marketing efforts so that the first time a potential customer hears about you is not because you've picked up the phone and rung them?
Yeah. So right now I've started doing kind of like what I call feature series, which I'm just posting on my personal LinkedIn. Luckily, over 12 years in the construction industry, I have quite a few very specific connections through that. So. Yeah. I'm using that to showcase features of the platform and how it works and the problems that it solves. So I think I'm up to like episode, only like 4 or 5 now, but reception of that's been great. I'm already getting some inbound from that.
That's great.
So I'm going to ramp up the kind of content side of it. Obviously, we know that's a great outreach.
Yep. All right.
This day and age.
Yep.
There's going to be some advertising and hopefully because part of my whole idea of the platform is it's built to be as simple or as complex as you want. How much information you put in is up to you. So basically I road tested this with my parents who run an electrical business back in Tasmania and they're a mum and dad operation. So I built in like, if they can use it and understand it, we're doing okay.
Okay. That's not too bad, but we do have to watch out. When we have a personal connection to people that we're studying for their user behavior or their adoption behavior or something, the fact that we have a connection to them can bias their feedback and bias the use of the product. We have to watch out that we're also studying people who don't care what their boss thinks about this new software product that they're meant to start using, and studying their behavior can often lead us to more accurate results down the track. I mean, we all want our family to believe in what we're doing.
Absolutely. Oh, look, I take their opinion with a grain of salt. Yeah. More just from a...
Yeah.
Can you pick it up and use it without me explaining every feature intimately? Yep. And they could. So,
yep.
But most of my kind of testing early days has been with friends from the industry. So I've got a lot of them in there to test it and use it and try and break it. And I luckily have, a very quick feedback loop myself because I can sit there and use it from every side of it. And I'm like, this is what I want to see.
Yep.
This isn't working. People are going to get frustrated with this.
So, mate, you're still a solo founder.
Yes.
There will be a time when you need to hire not just employees, but some more members of the leadership team. Being a solo founder and a CEO basically means you wear all the hats, right? And so, swapping from the CFO hat to the marketing director hat to the head of sales hat to the finance hat to the legal hat to the HR hat, which of those hats do you feel is least flattering for you,
I think on the early days, it's looking like customer support and,
okay.
and that side of the ledger. Yeah. So I think that's where the first hire is very key for me too.
That's a hire. But let's think about supporting you as a leader by hiring a leadership team.
I think marketing, I'm so fresh to, and obviously I can sit there and read and watch and learn as much as I want, but that kind of, game one experience, that's, I've got – someone in the background's giving me a bit of information and tips. Hopefully I can get her to come work for me fractionally in the future. That's
Okay, great.
Another plan.
Looking for fractional opportunities is a great idea. Looking also for opportunities to offer somebody an opportunity to earn into some equity in the business over time is another great way to encourage senior talent.
Yeah, so
at a more affordable price.
Part of the friends and family round, I carved out a 15% ESOP, so I can use that to sweeten the pot, because anyone that comes and is pushing as hard as me deserves a piece of the pie.
Great. Mitchell, thanks very much for coming on board the show today. This has been Mitchell from claimstack.com.au.
Yep.
Fantastic. If you've been listening to this and thinking, wow, I know somebody who's in commercial construction and their projects are amiss, Claimstack might be a good place to start. You've been listening to the special Melbourne Pricks My Brain edition of the Pick My Brain podcast. You may have also been watching. I keep forgetting some of you are watching. We'll be back with a couple more episodes of today's show in beautiful, freezing cold, rainy Melbourne. Thanks for watching. Thanks for joining me for this and every episode of Pick My Brains, the advice podcast for every startup founder. Never mind the don't forget to like and subscribe bullshit that every podcast host goes on about. Instead, please take a moment to think about someone you know who could use some of the advice I've shared and tell them that they should listen to it. I don't know, maybe they'll choose to like and subscribe. Anyway, I'm not a lawyer or an accountant, and what you've heard today is not intended as financial or legal advice. You should always seek that from a qualified professional before making the big decisions. And I'm not a superhero either, so don't forget that sometimes I'm fallible, and very occasionally I might even be wrong. Please let me know when you think I might be, so I can get better at this too. Just reach out to me on any of our social channels or email the show at pickmybrain@startupfoundercoach.com. Speaking of startupfoundercoach.com, that's where you might sometimes find show notes, transcripts, and bonus bloopers if I have the time. The Pick My Brain podcast is produced, edited, and beamed directly to your ears by the hardworking and understaffed team at Day One, the podcast network for founders, operators, and investors. Find out more at dayone.fm. Thanks for listening.
Founders scale faster on Deel. Set up payroll for any country in minutes, hire anyone, anywhere, get visas handled fast, and get back to building. Visit deel.com/dayone. That's DEEL.com/dayone.